Now we've reached the ninth verse of the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bible handy, you may read with me. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we were made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Why is he saying these things to these Corinthian believers? Well, because he has just been pointing out that they were puffed up and claimed to be rich and were acting like they were reigning as kings. Some false leadership had arisen among these Corinthians, and because of their oratory and the use of some of the sign gifts, they had led these simple Christians away after themselves. And Paul wants to win them back, not so much to himself as to Christ. He wants them to understand that the example set by the apostles proves that they were really of God. Now, apostles have been given a low place by the Lord. I wonder why? Well, wasn't the Lord Jesus himself given a low place? Who was more lowly than himself when he was here on this earth? Who was more despised? Who was less thought of among men? Why, they said, isn't this a carpenter's son? How does this man know so much? He isn't educated. And the Lord Jesus was despised by the people who were proud of their own attainments. And so God allowed the apostles to share in this, and he allows other Christians to share in it yet today. You wouldn't know this by what you see in Christendom today. There's a great pomp and ceremony attached to being officials in the so-called church. But God's way was that his apostles should be made a spectacle to the world and to angels and to men. This word spectacle comes from the same word from which we get our word theater. Now, of course, the way that people looked upon it was different. The people of the world made fun of them. The angels must have looked down upon them and honored God that here were some who were real. Here were some who were genuine, who really loved the Lord. These people were shamed, or should have been shamed, by seeing how the apostles had to suffer. And remember that Paul wrote to Timothy, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They were made as to be fools for the sake of Christ. They were counted weak and they were counted despised. While those who went along with the world and its ways and their carnal living might have quite an honorable place. In verse 11, he tells us that they even had great physical suffering. Unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And we must remember that God has not promised to his people plenty here on this earth. We live in such a materialistic age that many Christians think that if they live godly lives, that God will see to it that they have everything that they need. They'll have plenty here on this earth, and this simply is not taught in the Bible at all. In the Old Testament, yes, the Jews were given physical, temporal blessings because they were an earthly people. But in the New Testament, the most godly of the Lord's people and saints are men who suffered a great deal. And he even says we labor working with our own hands. And of course, you know the Apostle Paul did this in order that he might make the gospel without charge. This is what he said about it. This is why he made tents. He made his own living and helped to provide for others with him so that he might be able to preach the gospel freely. What a shame this is to men who demand high salaries and great things for themselves today. The Lord help us to examine our position and see if we as Christians are really the kind of Christians that they had in the first century. He says, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat, or we exhort and comfort others. They say mean things about us, but we try to say things that will be a help to them. And we're even made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. You see, the Apostle Paul had led these people to Christ. They were his children in the faith. He tells us a little farther down that he had begotten them through the gospel. That's in verse 15, the end of the verse. I have begotten you through the gospel. They were his children in the sense that he was the one who led them to the Lord. He preached the gospel to them, and they had been born into God's family through hearing the gospel from Paul's lips. He was the first one to go into Greece, to this great city of Corinth, a great seaport town, a very wicked city. When people wanted to insult another man in the first century, they just called him a Corinthian. And these Corinthians were wicked people, and Paul had gone there and preached among them, and many of them had been saved. Now he said, you may have 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. Remember that I'm the one who led you to Christ. This should have made them more willing to choose Paul and to listen to what Paul had to say than to follow these men who were leading them astray. Wherefore, he says, I beseech you, be followers of me. It isn't that Paul wanted them to follow him that he might take the glory, nor that he wanted them to be on his team. Rather, he says in the 11th chapter in verse 1, follow me as I follow Christ. Now this is why he says in verse 17, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, or Timothy, who is my beloved son. Here was an ideal son. These Corinthians were not. Not only was he an ideal son, but he was faithful in the Lord. He wasn't just faithful to Paul. He wasn't just a slave to Paul's school of thought. But he was faithful to God. He was following the Lord. And he says, who shall bring to your remembrance, or bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ? Not simply followers of Paul for Paul's sake, but because Paul was following Christ, because his ways were the ways of Christ. As I teach everywhere in every church, and this was his consistency. The writings of the Apostle Paul are consistent. The Holy Spirit gave him these things, and you'll find no contradictions in them. You'll find that everything that he taught was consistent with the teachings of the Lord Jesus himself. And so Paul was able to say, I'm going to send Timothy, and I hope that he will be able to bring you back to the teaching that I gave you to begin with. I'd like to ask you something. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I know that you received him only through the gospel. There is no other way to come to Christ. You didn't come to Christ through some philosophy. You came to Christ through the gospel. You believe that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day. You were saved by simple faith in the Lord Jesus. You believe that your sins were put away by the precious blood of Christ. All right, I want to ask you, what kind of men are you following now? Are the men that you follow now preaching this same simple gospel? Well, you say, times have changed. Yes, they have, but God's word has not changed. Well, you say, modern preachers have another message. Yes, they do. And Galatians chapter 1 pronounces a curse on them because they do have another message. You see, you were brought to Christ through the simple gospel. Then don't be deceived by new theories and new ideas. Some of you have turned away from the simple gospel preaching believers and have taken up with some new cult. You've taken up with some new idea. You believe now that Jesus is only an angel and not the true Son of God. I beg of you, come back to the truth that you were taught at the beginning. Now he challenges these leaders at Corinth and says in verse 18, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. This was going to be a showdown. Paul was going to come to Corinth and he was going to face up to these men who were misleading the children of God. And he was going to say, I don't want to hear your fine speeches. I want to know what you're preaching that has power in the lives of those who hear it. Now, the gospel is a gospel of power. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Will these new high-sounding philosophies have the power to cleanse libertines and make them what they ought to be? To take drunkards and make them sober? To take proud people and make them humble? No, quite the contrary. And Paul said, I want to know the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The gospel of God's grace has power in the lives of believers. The Holy Spirit is the power in the life of a believer to help us to live to please Him. If what you believe doesn't have power enough to change your life, then you're believing the wrong thing. There are many people who accept some new fancy religion, but all the time they know that their lives are filled with evil things, with sin, and they're not what they ought to be, because the power of the Spirit of God is not operative in their lives. You must get back to the truths of the Bible. Now he gives them a choice. What will you? What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love? Every Christian who is away from the Lord has the choice of confessing his sins and knowing the love of God in forgiveness, or feeling the rod of God's chastening in his life. Which do you choose? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, salvation is eternal, but God must discipline Christians and bring them back to himself. May the Lord help you to get restored to the Lord.